Good morning. I'm glad everyone made it out. We have a few more than we had before, so they must have heard I was preaching. So as most of you are aware, I think, Amanda and I have been here for about 3.5 years, but our time here is kind of running out. We're getting ready to move in the next few weeks. And as I was thinking about back on our time here in Ohio, I was thinking of, what all has happened and what all that means. And one of the themes that kept coming up to me was the theme of growth. Now, this has really been a chapter of growth in our lives, I believe. Professionally and educationally, as many of you know, we moved here so I could go to school up here. And so we've been up here for that. It's also been a time of physical growth for us. We've added a person to our family, Clark. A lot of you know him. If you haven't met him, you should. He's a great guy. But most importantly, this has been a time of spiritual growth for us and experiencing God's blessings. Just before we moved to Ohio, the congregation where we were attending was going through a tough time, and eventually they had a split. So when we moved here, we didn't exactly have a great taste in our mouth. But we started visiting here at Columbus Street and we felt, very welcomed and everyone was very loving towards us. And since we've been married, Ohio is the first place that we've lived where we haven't had a family member in the same state. The closest family we have is an 8-hour drive away, so not exactly someone you can just call on and have them come on over if you need any help. But in Matthew 19 and Mark 10, God says that you'll receive 100-fold brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers. And I feel that being here, we've really, really felt that. Maybe not 100-fold. I don't know. We don't really have 100 people here, but we definitely feel, a part of a family here. And you guys have welcomed us. And we're very grateful for that and that blessing that we've experienced. So as this chapter in our life closes, I was wondering, what would I want to say before we leave? This is one of the last times that I'll probably speak in front of you. And the conclusion that I came to is that I would want the same thing that I've experienced while being here, and that is growth, growth that brings us closer to God. And so that's what I'd like to talk to you guys about this morning, growth. As Keith read for us in Hebrews, chapter 5, let's go ahead and read that again. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers discerned by training and constant practice to distinguish from good and distinguish good and evil." So we see here that God wants us to mature as Christians, and it's part of something that we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to just drink milk for the rest of our lives. Clark was on an all-liquid diet for a while, and he grew, but at some point he needed to eat real food to help him, give him more of that nutrients that he needed to continue to grow. And it's the same with us as Christians. We need more of that meat of the Word once we're ready to move on from that. And it's also important, why is growth important? It's been said that once you stop growing, you start to die. So as Christians, we always want to be growing so that we can continue to live and not to die. So our first question this morning is, what is growth? And what does that look like? This question is something that everyone has to answer for themselves. When babies are born and for the first few years of life, you go to the doctor and they're measured and they're weighed. And their growth is plotted on a curve. I was going to put a picture in here, but I didn't have one. But there's a curve, and it tells you, what percentile you're in compared to other people of the same age as you. And so every baby's growth pattern is different. Likewise, everyone is at a different place in their spiritual growth. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we need to make sure that we're always growing and rather than regressing. So this brings us to our first step in growth, and that is, you know, we need to study the Word. Studying the Word gives us the standard by which we're measured. Like I said, there's a growth curve that babies are compared against to see where their growth is. And so the Word gives us our standards by which we're measured against. So this isn't an exhaustive list, but we have a few a few standards up here on the screen. So we'll go ahead and read those. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the poor, pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So here we get one of those standards by which we can kind of compare ourselves to. The next one is in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22, it says, "But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires." Excuse me. So here's another standard, the fruits of the Spirit that we can use. And the next one, I didn't have a fancy name for, but in 2 Peter chapter 1, he tells us to add to our faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5, it says, "For this reason, make every effort to supplement to your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For these are the qualities, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So there's another standard by which we can measure ourselves. We have to constantly be adding to our faith. And the last standard that we have, obviously, is Christ, which you can find the standard in the Gospels. Obviously, I don't think we don't have time to read all of that today, but we do get a little bit of that in Philippians chapter 2, if you'd like to turn over to there. Sorry, it's not the corona, it's just a dry throat, so you should be safe. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5, it said, "Have this mind among yourselves, which was yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." So here we get a little bit of a glimpse of that ultimate standard that we have, that is Jesus Christ, that we should all be trying to be more like. Sorry. Now the point of having A standard to measure by is to be able to track our growth. And as I said before, we're all kind of at different stages in our spiritual growth. If we look at the fruits of the Spirit, you know, maybe you're not so great, or maybe you are great at faithfulness, but you don't really have gentleness down. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as you're not stagnating, and you're pushing forward to try to become better at, you know, exhibiting those qualities. And growth doesn't happen overnight. It requires, you know, conscious pursuit, to grow, and it doesn't happen automatically. You're not gonna grow just by sitting on your couch watching TV. You have to put some effort into it. So when tracking growth, of a child, you're watching for progress, make sure that they're growing appropriately, but you also want to watch out for regression as well. And similarly, God gives us signs of regression. He gives us signs of regression that we need to watch out for. Going back to Galatians, just before talking about the fruits of the Spirit, he mentions the works of the flesh, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. 19. it says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So here he lists some of those signs of regression that we need to watch out for. And also over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9, he says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, and you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of our God." So we see, you know, here at the end of the passage, that Paul tells them, you know, you were once like these, but you've grown. And, you know, we need to look out for these signs of going backwards. And it's important for us to, you know, pay attention to ourselves and make sure that we're not going backwards. But if we do, we need to do our best to get back on track, that track of growth. And if we can't do it ourselves, we can seek counsel with others. If you turn over just a couple pages, at least in my Bible, to chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it." So here we learn that the temptations that we experience, they're not unique to us. It's something that people all around us have experienced. And, you know, we can get counsel from those people who have, you know, we know have done better with the temptations that we experience, the similar temptations. And so we can get back on that track for growth. So now we have a standard. This isn't an exhaustive list, like I said. I'd encourage you to take a look at more on your own time. But what comes next now that we have our standard? Next we have to do. Let's turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting in verse 22. It says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and perseveres, being a hearer, not no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So now that we have the standard, we have to put that to action. And I think we get a glimpse of what that looks like in Colossians chapter 3. This kind of gives us an idea of what it looks like to put these standards in action within our own family. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 18. It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." So here we see, you know, what that looks like within the family, what it looks like to put that standard into action. And also going over to 1 Peter. Is that right? Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 3, starting verses 1 and 2 and then jumping down to verse 7. It says, "Likewise, wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see you respectful and pure, your respectful and pure conduct." And in verse 7, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since she is an heir with you for the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." So within the family, you know, we see the interaction between the husband and the wife, and then also the children towards the parents, and vice versa, and how that should look when we're using that standard to measure ourselves by. And then in the workplace, going back to Colossians chapter 3, it says in verse 22, it says, "Bondservants, obey everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for man, knowing that that from the Lord you will receive your inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will not be paid back for his wrong that he has done, and there is no partiality." And then going back to 1 Peter, this time chapter 2, in verse 13. It says, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or the governor as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedoms as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor." "Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it when you sin and are beaten for it and you endure? But if you do good and suffer for it and endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God." So we see that, within the workplace, we're also, you know, putting those standards into action. We'll be obedient to those who are above us, as we kind of touched on briefly in Bible class this morning. And also, as our roles as citizens in a country, we already read the 1 Peter one, but going over to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror of good conduct, but of bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of consciousness. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to the very things. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, and respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. So here we see what it looks like when we're putting those standards into action when we're citizens of a country. And then, we also see when we put those standards into action what it looks like among the brethren. If we turn over to Romans chapter 12, which is the same opening in my Bible, so you might not have to do too much turning. But Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9, it says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another, and do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. And do not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good." So here we see how we're supposed to be interacting with one another. And also in Galatians 6, we read that this isn't something that we're supposed to just do within the body of Christ. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those of the household of faith." So we see these standards aren't just our interactions within the church, but we're also supposed to act Christianly towards others outside of the church as well. As it says here, especially those of the household of faith. So all people are supposed to be treated well. So we've looked at the standards, and we've looked at putting those standards into action. So what's next? The last point that I'd like to talk about this evening is reflecting on growth. In nursing school, reflection was a pretty big part of the curriculum. At the end of each semester, or at the midterm and then at the final, you were supposed to write a reflection on what you had done that semester and really kind of think about what had happened. And we do that because, as the professors tell us, people who reflect on their actions often do better at what they do because they're able to identify those strengths and weaknesses that they have. And reflecting on our actions isn't something that's unique to nursing. It's supposed to be part of the Christian life as well. Going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we see that this is part of something that we're supposed to do before partaking of the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 28, it says, "Let a person examine himself, and then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." So we're supposed to do self-examination before partaking of the Lord's Supper, but it's also something that we're supposed to do in general. Turning over to 2 Corinthians, chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet this test." So, as Christians, we see that it's important to reflect on our growth, to make sure that we're doing what we need to be doing. And how do we reflect on what we've done? You know, it takes introspection and looking within ourselves. But going back to what we read in James chapter 1, it says we have to look into the perfect law of liberty. That's the mirror that we look into to see ourselves and to reflect on our own actions. So we have to look at our standards and implement them, as we've already talked about, and then reflect on those things. So this morning, maybe you're ready to start your spiritual growth. The first step is to become a Christian by being baptized. Or maybe you're a Christian and you've kind of become stagnant in your growth. Maybe you've started to regress, like we've talked about, and you've noticed that in your life. And you would like the prayers of the saints here to help you get back on that track of growth, so that we can always be growing and not dying. Whatever your need is, I would encourage you to step into an aisle now and come to the front as we stand and as we sing.